I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Welcome into the Sleepwire Great Debate Show, where we do a quick debate-style argument between two players. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me today is special guest Jake Seeley. You can find him on Twitter at AllInKid. Jake, how's it going, man?
Yeah, better than week two, right?
Yeah, this was a rough one, and this was very rough.
This is probably the worst I remember, and I've been doing this for 10 years, 10-plus years. That's a... Definitely the worst we've seen in all, at least I'd say at least what couple years, 5 years or so.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's got something to do with no preseason, right?
That's my assumption. You know, I covered baseball too, and we saw the return that they didn't have a new spring training, so to speak. And we saw all the injuries with MLB came through for that first month a hell of a lot. So I have to assume this. Yeah, this isn't a name drop, but, you know, D'Angelo Williams, when I had him on my podcast, said he expected this. He actually said that, you know, you can't just go out there with no preseason and expect, like, he understands not having four games, but he said there was going to be injuries.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a little bit ridiculous. How do you feel about the how well the Braves are playing this season, speaking of baseball?
I barely even care. Actually, a funny thing is I have a Padres hat because I jumped on their bandwagon last year. So now that they're all fun and exciting and you know, keep going until the Mets are officially sold, I can get back on board with them next year.
Well, guys, for those of you listening for the first time, this is how the show goes. We each have a player that we are arguing for. We get 2 minutes to argue for our player, 90 seconds for a rebuttal against the other person's player, and then we finish up with final thoughts, and that's the show. And we were actually going to have two great debates. One of them was going to be Mike Davis versus Wayne Gallman. And I think, Jake, you said you only agreed to that because you didn't know Christian McCaffrey was going to be out for so long.
That was last night before we found out that Christian McCaffrey... Like, I didn't... Obviously, I don't think anybody expected a high ankle sprain after... Like, the play, first of all, didn't look that bad. He walked off, and it was just... Most of the conversation during the game was, like, why hasn't Christian McCaffrey come back into the game? So, only because we thought it was late in the game, that was the only reason why. So, yeah, now that Christian McCaffrey is officially out, I can't... conceivably argue for Wayne Gallman over Mike Davis. I have Mike Davis as my number one pickup in my waiver rankings for tomorrow. So yeah, I'm not arguing for Wayne Gallman now.
Yeah, as I was looking into Mike Davis, I was like, you know what? This is going to be super solid if Christian McCaffrey misses any time. And I honestly, how do you feel about the Giants? Do you think they're going to sign somebody? I wouldn't be surprised to see Freeman or Lamar Miller get signed there.
I could see it. I could also see why. Also, you know, just because like Lamar Miller, it makes a little bit of sense because it's just kind of like they need depth because it's now just Gallman and Lewis. Maybe somebody else. I forget their undrafted free agent that they had. I actually like that kid. I'm trying to remember his name. He got cut late, too. But I think maybe for depth, if Freeman's asking for too much, if I'm Freeman, why do I like he's been holding out. I understand he wants money. But if I'm Freeman, I'm like, I'm not going to the Giants. They might win four games. Actually, probably not even four now because they've already lost two.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be for the money, right?
Yeah, but you know what? I would be surprised if he like doesn't get one more stop after this. I mean, if he doesn't go to San Francisco or Carolina for a visit, then I guess maybe it is the Giants. But also, if you're the Giants, how much money are you going to throw at it? Like, you have to know this is a lost season. I mean, right. Before the season even started, we saw what what's his face said. The Mara, I forget which what is the older Mara, one of them. But anyway, he just said, I just want to see at the end of the season that we're moving forward. Like, it's like, how low of a bar is, I just want to see that we're moving forward. Like, please, goodbye, Gettleman. Goodbye. Can we just move on next year and get rid of everything? And I'll be back to being a Giants fan again.
Yeah, well, there you go. Looking forward to it, right? Yeah. Back to being a Giants fan, back to being a Mets fan.
I know. It's like 5-10 years ago. I can get back to the rooting for these teams.
Finally. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the show. So we are, instead of doing Mike Davis and Wayne Gallman, doing Russell
Javon
Gage.
Leak, by the way. Javon Leak from Maryland. That was the one that the Giants cut late.
I did not know that name. That's fine. Russell Gage versus Laviska Shenault. I have Gage, and Jake, you have Laviska, and I'm going to kick it off here just so you can see kind of how the flow is going to go here. So I get 2 minutes here. Yeah, you're going to time me. So bring up your stopwatch. I'll time myself as well just so I know where I'm at. But at the 2 minute mark, just say time, and then I'll stop, and then we'll get into the rebuttal.
Okay.
So for Russell Gage, could this be the third year breakout for the Falcons' young wide receiver? Through the first two games of 2020, he's got 15 receptions on 21 targets, 160 yards, and a touchdown. In week one, is 9 catches on 12 targets for 114 yards. 12 targets for this guy. That was awesome. This week was 6 catches on 9 targets for 46 yards and a touchdown. However, this sudden explosion of targets for Russell Gage is not something that's new. It seems like it's coming out of nowhere, but it's not really a new thing for Gage. If you look back at what he was doing in 2019, he finished the season with 74 targets, which isn't a lot. But however, 66 of those came from week 8 on, the last 9 games of the season, which is not a small sample size. That's an average of more than 7 targets a game. In 6 of those games, he had 6 or more targets, including games of 9, 10, and 13 targets. 45 of his 49 receptions came in those last 9 games as well. So not only was he averaging 7 targets a game, he was also averaging 5 receptions per game. That's pretty great for an undrafted wide receiver who you got off the waiver wire and were able to throw into your flex spot. In those 9 games, he had double-digit fantasy points 5 times, so he was definitely a guy worth playing. He's playing on a very pass-happy team. He has the second most targets for the Falcons so far, just 1 behind team leader Calvin Ridley. That's right, it's not Julio Jones leading the team in targets. Now, is that going to change? Probably. I mean, why would Matt Ryan not throw the ball to one of the best wide receivers of all time? However, it's clear that Russell Gage is definitely a big part of this offense. Opposing defenses have to double-team Julio, and now we're going to start seeing them double-team Calvin Ridley as well, who's having a phenomenal start to the season. But they cannot double up all 3 wide receivers. Teams will be focusing on Ridley and Julio. Russell Gage is going to continue to be open for Matt Ryan, and the Falcons have currently thrown the ball the second most times. No one's ever said it like that before. I like it. Shut up. All right, Jake, let's go ahead and get into your rebuttal against Russell Gage.
I don't even know if I need 30 seconds, but all right.
You get 90 seconds.
Oh, 90 seconds?
90 seconds, yeah.
I definitely don't need 90 seconds. All
right, speak 3 times as slow then.
As though I just go and you're going to hit the timer once I start going?
Go for it. As soon as you start going, I'll hit it.
Like, I don't disagree with a lot of Russell Gage. I actually have him in the waiver column, and I have Russell Gage, when we'll talk about the situation, as somebody that, you know, I don't have much more to tell you after this week, similar to everything you just said about him. My biggest problem with Russell Gage is just the offense and being the number 3 on a team. Anytime you're the number 3 wide receiver, I have concerns. I think right now, if you look at the Cowboys, the concern with Michael Gallup going forward is he's been treated as the number 3. You get left out. And I understand that they're double covering Julio. It was last week, but week 1 was Hayden Hurst. Week 2 is Julio. I think at some point defense are going to say, well, let's pay a little bit of attention to Russell Gage. And I like Russell Gage, but we're talking about talent. I would still even put him behind Hayden Hurst as pure overall talent. So I don't dislike him, and I don't dislike anything you said. It's just trusting the number 3 wide receiver week in and week out. If Matt Ryan doesn't throw it 40 times, doesn't throw it 50 times, and they do rely on the run a little bit, they get a lead. Like, this week is my bigger concern even, is if they get a lead early and then they start to slow things down and run the clock a little bit more, I just am always going to be hesitant. I'm not saying don't pick them up. I'm just always going to be hesitant to trust a number 3 wide receiver on any team. Go back to Ben Roethlisberger throwing 5,000 yards 2 years ago. Even the number 3 on there was inconsistent, and that's my only concern.
Well, speaking of a team's number three wide receiver, let's get to LaVisca Chenault.
See, I knew you were going to set me up with that. You can start the time anyway, because I don't even think I'm going to need 2 minutes for LaVisca Chenault. So, you know, I say all that, and I knew that was going to be your immediate response, and you're probably going to push back with your counter-argument. A lot of people are probably watching, too, but here's the thing. Going forward for the entire season, I don't think he's the number three. As of today, yes, he is. As of today, Keelan Cole is the number two. Actually, as of today, Keelan Cole is the number one. Here's where I look at it. And here, I'll even give you the breakdown. So the routes run count so far is Chark 61. He still leads in routes. Cole is 51. Chenault was 41. And then Conley is down at number four, 26. The target percentage, actually, Cole is leading the way at 18.8. And that's what we see. Chark is actually fourth. It's 12.5 and 12.5 for Conley and Chenault. So we have all of that. Here's where I have problems with Keelan Cole. We know who Keelan Cole is. We know also Keelan Cole has done an exorbitant amount of his value after the target. He's averaging 5.5 air yards per target. That's miserable. If he gets tackled like an average wide receiver, he's not going to be putting up the numbers he's putting up so far. And the thing with Chenault is he's already on Cole's heels as a rookie 2 games into the season. If he's getting this much run, and I do say run, pun intended, because he's also getting snaps in the backfield. So that's where it comes down to is we like Robert Woods. We like options like this with Chenault. So you're getting additional touches as a running back. You're already pushing Cole. If you told me talent versus talent, is definitively Chenault over Cole. Cole was getting benched even before even getting injured last year. I just don't think going forward, if you told me weeks 3 through 16, I think Chenault is going to be the number two overall, and that Cole is just going to take a back seat sooner than later. I would say week 5. We'll put the over under week 5. Chenault is definitively the number two on this team.
You timed that really well.
And I tried to slow down. I tried to even add stuff.
As soon as I invited you on the show, I was like, man, he talks so fast. He's going to have a lot of stuff to make it through 2 minutes.
See, you had to know that. But see, it's all this extra stuff that you're getting involved.
Exactly.
In as well.
Exactly. All right. So let me go ahead and mention some
of you then, because this actually matters.
It does. So he's certainly not been as involved as Russell Gage. You're kind of looking at a guy who has only had 4 targets each of the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's tied with Chris Conley right now. He's definitely the wide receiver 3 on his team after DJ Chark. And surprisingly, as you mentioned, Keelan Cole, who I did not think I was going to be talking about at all this season. But he's looked pretty good. 11 catches on 12 targets and 2 touchdowns through the first 2 games. The Jaguars are just not really a passing team. They want to run the ball, as evidenced by James Robinson's usage in the first 2 weeks. Gardner Minshew may have had 6 touchdowns through the first 2 weeks, but he has just 65 passing attempts. It's a low passing offense so far. Minshew has just been effective. The one thing that Chenault has going for him, as you said, over Gage, is his usage in the running game. 7 attempts for 47 yards is helping him out. However, this is just not a high-powered passing offense this season. He hasn't had the fantasy output that I'm looking for right now in a waiver wire pickup. With all the injuries, I want someone who I can immediately put in a lineup if needed. I see him as more of a long-term play. He's only rostered in 17% of leagues, so he's definitely available. But I think you're going to be able to get him off of waivers the next couple weeks, whereas this will probably be your only chance to get Russell Gage.
Hey, you had 12 seconds to spare.
I did. Yep. Well, so let's go.
I'll agree with one thing that you said at the end, that if you can only get one now, if Russell Gage is not going to be the one that's available next week.
No, nope,
so
absolutely
agree
not.
With you there. Yep. And that's why, so for people out there, for the waiver column that I do, I have I tried to tell you section. And it's guys that I've written up or said, like, oh, it's just that I've said so much about him. And again, it's only 2 weeks in. But like, I mean, what is there left to say about Russell Gage that I didn't say last week, that I didn't say again? Like, if you don't pick him up this week, like, I what am I going to tell you next week that's going to be anything different?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Let's go ahead and move to final thoughts. I'm going to take it back to Russell Gage here. Now, you said that teams do have to pay a little attention to Gage. They're going to have to start to, but that's going to take a little attention away from Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. And do they want to do that? I'm not so sure. Matt Ryan has 91 passing attempts throughout the first 2 weeks. He would be first if it weren't for Joe Burrow having to throw 61 times, which is almost the total number of pass attempts that Gardner Minshew has through 2 weeks. Last Thursday, 2019, they threw the ball 684 times, which led the NFL by a wide margin. This offense runs through Matt Ryan's arm, and that's not going to change. Gage isn't the fastest guy on the field. He ran a 4.5 at his pro day, but he has a 39-inch vertical leap, which is great for going up and making those contested catches. He can outjump almost anyone. He's only rostered in 22% of leagues so far, and that's going to go up after these 2 weeks. Don't surprise to see him picked up in every one of your leagues after starting on Wednesday. He may be his team's wide receiver 3, but he's shown over his last 11 regular season games that he's an integral part of this offense who's definitely involved in the game plan. You look at teams who have 3 good fantasy wide receivers, and the list is tiny. I mean, the Falcons, you can argue they have the best wide receiver core in the league, and they're going to keep doing what is working for their offense. Defense is another story. They need to hit recovering onside kicks. Very, very, you don't just let it cross the line. They look bad, but guess who that's good for? Wide receivers on teams that need to throw the ball. And let's get your final thoughts on Shenault here, Jake.
I don't really have that. You keep going to these long segments. I don't even have this much to add because I kind of included everything. Like the Shenault thing, like I understand everything you said again, but I like to play for the upside. I don't like to play for, this is what I can pick up for this week. And when it comes down to it, I'll just go back to what I said. At no point, whatever defensive attention that's given, like I love Julio Jones for a buy low right now because everybody's ticked off. But for whatever it can be, he's always at best going to be third, if not potentially fourth at some point, if Hayden Hurst continues to, be a breakout, like based on the Austin Hooper role. As of right now, he's essentially number 2. But I will say he's going to be third. It's Calvin Ridley is might even be the number 1 at this point.
Might be.
Chenault's going to be the number 2. And that's, again, while I'm playing it. Now, I'll go back and, for winning the debate, I will agree and admit that, after week 2, if you're going to pick up somebody now, pick them both up. But if you're looking for somebody that will still be there next week, it'll likely be Shenault, not Gage. Even if Shenault blew up for 100 and a touchdown, the fact is people aren't picking him up in droves this week. So I'll give you a little bit of the edge there, but I still want Shenault on all of my teams where possible.
Mike Davis or Wayne Gallman?
Mike Davis.
I know you said Davis. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for the Great Debate Show. Jake, why don't you tell our listeners where they can follow you and support you?
Owen Kidd is the easiest way to see, like, at The Athletic. You go out there, it's $1 a month right now. So if you haven't signed up, I tried to tell you. If you haven't signed up, I don't know what I could tell you if it's $1 a month. So I have everything out. The waiver column is coming out tonight. You know what would have been a better one? Wayne Gallman versus Jerick McKinnon. Now that what happened with Mostert and Terry.
Yeah, I know.
Gallman.
I know.
A good one.
Yep. We had, unfortunately, a lot of good ones. Some weeks we have just garbage where, there's always that 1 week a season where it was just really, really bad, but we had to have a great debate show. But, you also don't want there to be too many because that just means there
like
were a ton
this
of
week?
Injuries.
Can this like please this be week? The last week that we have
let's,
to deal with this?
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. Follow the Sleeper Wire Show on Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show. I'm on there at prof_ChrisSW. And you can also find me on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris. Jake, thanks so much for joining us. Let's enjoy this second half of football with no more fantasy value with Ingold and Zay Jones.
Oh, annoying.
Yep. Thanks again, man. Take care.
Yep. Thank you.